bless the people where they're going. Amen? Without a doubt. This morning, what book are we in? Deuteronomy. Oh my goodness. You know Phil's excited about this one. All right. So what we're going to do to start this one off, and we're going to do it properly. So I need you all to stand up again. We are going to pray to the Lord our God. We stand traditional way, out of reverence to God. Jews would stand specifically for this prayer twice a day, many three times a day. So let's pray together. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that the days of your days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. For if you will be careful to do all this that I command you, loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways, and holding fast to him, then he will bless us. We make this commitment to you, our Lord, our God, the only Lord, our God, the great I am. And the church says, amen. Have a seat. Do you enter your name in here? In taking this man or woman to be your lawfully wedded husband, wife, before God and these witnesses, promise to love him or her, to honor and cherish him or her in that relation, and leaving all others, cleave only unto him or her, and to be to him or her in all things a true and faithful husband or wife, so long as you both shall live. What are these? Wedding vows. Vows that before God and man that we stand before, and we say these things to a potential spouse standing there before us, and we make these vows, commitments to one another. How many of y'all remember doing that? How many of you really remember doing it? No, I'm just kidding. It's funny, when you're getting married, you've built all up to that point, right? And you get up there and you stand before the minister, whoever's officiating the service, and what are you thinking in that moment? There's a lot of things going on in your mind, and then all of a sudden the minister starts talking, and you do this, and then he says, "Do you?" And then he gets to the end of the vows, and then you're supposed to say what? "I do." You may not have heard anything he just said, but you knew you were supposed to say, "I do." It's funny, because a lot of times we do take vows and we don't really listen to them. We'll stand before God and we'll say these great things and we'll say, "I do." But do you? The Israelites stood before Joshua, and they said, "All these things we will do." And you know what Joshua's response to him was? "You don't know how to keep your commitment." "Oh, no, 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 we will, we will, we promise we will." "Okay, I'm going to set up a bunch of rocks here. These rocks are going to be a testament to you today that if you don't follow through on your vows and your commitments, these rocks will testify against you." "Amen, brother. Put the rocks. Stack them. We do." Did they? Actually, very interesting, they did stay true to their commitment all the way through that group of elders and leaders. And then in Judges, it tells us after those leaders had passed away, those elders of the people had passed away, a generation grew up who what? Neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for them. They forgot him. "Oh, but we would never do that, Phil. Really? The interesting thing is with the Israelites, they were still having church. They were still getting together and talking through Scripture. And they would stand and they would recite the Shema. They would make the commitments. But it says these people didn't know Him. Is it possible that we can make words come out of our mouths and not mean them? Yes or no? The very thing that God hates is when His people speak words but don't live them. They aren't the words they speak. He's longing for people who love Him that much. That much. It's when we look through the book of Deuteronomy, I'm going to tell you something. What you're going to hear is a bunch of wedding vows over and over and over again. Okay, remember what I told you a few weeks ago when we were talking about the book of Leviticus? My dad said the best way to learn things is through the three R's. What are they? Repetition, repetition, and repetition. And I showed you in Leviticus the things that were said over and over and over again to help us understand He is the Lord our God. This week, we're going to look at a few of those repetitions in the book of Deuteronomy. There's a lot of them. Okay? So the first one, if you're writing things down, you're making notes. First one is this. It's a hard one. Ready? Love God. All right? Now, I'm going to move through Deuteronomy. You don't have to move this fast. But I will tell you the verses that they're in, okay? This one's going to be fun for you, Lori. So, you ready? All right. Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 7:9, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God. Keep His covenant of love to the thousand generations of those who love Him and keep His commands. Deuteronomy 7:12, love the Lord your God, the Lord your God will keep His covenant of love. Deuteronomy 11:1, love the Lord your God. 11:13, love the Lord your God. 11:22, love the Lord your God. 13:3, the Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love Him with all your heart and with all your soul. 19:9, love the Lord your God. 36, the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love Him with all your heart and soul and live. 30:16, love the Lord your God. 30:20, love the Lord your God. Did you get the point? Over and over and over and over again. Love Him. Why does He have to say it so many times? Why? So you'll remember. I remember my dad would always tell me he loved me. And this is why. He said, so it didn't matter if I was coming or going, Dad would tell me he loved me. And I always wondered why he said it so much. And one day I asked him, I said, Dad, I know you love me. Why do you keep on saying it all the time? He said, because I never know if it's my last. Guess what I do? Every chance I get with my children and my wife, I love you. Because I never know if it's my last. I want them to remember that the last words that come from my mouth that they hear from me would be, I love you. Not, I'm upset at you. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. I love you. And I want that to be ringing in their hearts and in their minds and in their souls for all eternity. God tells us to love Him so that we don't forget. So that we know not only does He love us, but we should love Him. It is something that should be ingrained in our minds. Love God. Love God. Love God. Second one. Obey God. Now here's a hard statement I'm about to make. And you may or may not agree with me. I don't know. We'll find out. You can obey people and not love them. Okay? You can obey people and not love them. But you can't love someone without obeying. Truly, love requires a level of obedience. Requires it. Oh, that's not true. Remember, y'all remember when the soon-to-be Princess Diana was, they were talking about her wedding vows. What did she take out of her wedding vows to Prince Charles? Obey. They both agreed that they would choose not to make in their vows, their wedding vows, the promise to obey one. Because I just don't feel I can obey someone. There's something fundamentally wrong when we make that sort of a statement. That I love you, but I won't obey you. Now, when Angie calls me up on the phone and I'm heading home to work, and she says, I need you to go by the store and pick up a gallon of milk. What do you think I do? What do you think I do? I obey her. I go by the store and I pick up the gallon of milk so that life may be well with me. Right? If I do not obey, life may not go so well. Okay? But why do I obey her? Because I love her. I don't feel like I'm obligated to do it. I do it because I love her. No other reason than that. Do I want to? No! But I do it. Listen to these verses. Deuteronomy 6:3, be careful to obey so that it may go well with you. 6:24 through 25, the Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as it is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he commanded us, that will be our righteousness. Deuteronomy 11:1, love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commandments always. 11:13. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, then I will, and the blessings come. 11:32. Be sure that you obey all the decrees and laws. Deuteronomy 12:28. Be careful to obey all these regulations. 13:4. Keep his commands and obey him. Serve him and hold fast to him. 15:5. He will richly bless you if you fully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all his commands. 27:10, obey the Lord your God. 28:1, obey the Lord your God. 28:2, obey the Lord your God. 32:46 through 47, take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day so that you may command your children to obey and carefully follow this law. They are not just idle words. They are your life. In any love rate relationship, there is a level of obedience required. When you love someone, you'll do it. Not because you feel like you have to, but because you want to. Angie asked me to get a gallon of milk because she knows our family needs it. Therefore, I go get it. A child listens to a parent say, don't go and do this. And they listen, mainly because they have to at that point. But at some point, they realize out of the love they have for them that their parents had their best interest in mind. Do you think for a second that God wants to harm us? That he wants to hurt you with the things he's asked you to do? Or are they out of the deep love he has for you and wanting the best for you? Y'all remember what Jeremiah 29 says? I have plans. I have plans for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Not to harm you. Because our God is a God of love. We demonstrate how much we love him by our what? Obedience. Our simple obedience to what he has asked of us shows him how much we love him. The third thing. So love God. Love God. Obey him. and remember him. Remember him. Deuteronomy 4:9. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Deuteronomy 6:12. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord. Chapter 8, all of it. Just read it. Chapter 8:11 in specific. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. 25:19, do not forget. So he says these do not forgets, and then he emphasizes them again with the remembers. Deuteronomy 4:10, remember the day you stood before the Lord your God. 5:15, remember that you were slaves. Deuteronomy 7:18, remember that what the Lord your God did. 8:2, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert. 8:18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant. Chapter 9, verse 7, remember this and never forget. 15:15, remember that you were slaves. 16:3, remember all the days of your life and remember the time of your departure from Egypt. 16:12, remember that you were slaves. And so on and so on. In chapter 32, verse 7, it says, remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. Ask your father and he will tell you, your elders and they will explain it to you. Are we forgetful people? Are we forgetful people? Because if I can forget God, then who becomes God? Me. I become the standard and the authority in my life. Why? Because there is no God. And therefore, everything that I make decisions upon are based upon my decisions and opinions. We're to remember God. Let's talk about this again. How did the Israelites do with this? Did they do good with remembering? If you go to Psalm 106, long psalm, I'm not going to go through all of it. But here's in verse 6 of 106, it says, both we and our fathers have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedness. Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. Yet you saved them for his name's sake, that he might make known his mighty power. Down here in verse 12, the people come back. Then they believed his words, they sang his praise, but verse 13, but they soon what? Forgot. His works did not wait for his counsel. But they had a wanton crave in the wilderness and put God to the test in the desert. Down in verse 20, they exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. We are prone to forget, and we definitely forget the things that may have requirements of us. Love God, obey God, remember Him. These themes are constant throughout the book of Deuteronomy, over and over again. Deuteronomy is seen by the Jewish nation as a curriculum for life with God. It is taught and spoken and memorized all the time. Now, there's somebody that quoted it pretty often. Anybody got a name? Now, this is that easy Bible class question. Who was it that quoted it a lot? Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus quotes Old Testament scripture often, right? But there are two books that he quotes the most. One is Psalms, He quotes Psalms throughout the Gospels 11 times. And only by one does it beat Deuteronomy. Because he quotes Deuteronomy 10 times throughout the Gospels. You think it's a pretty important book? Don't think so? What happens in the temptation of Jesus? What does he do? Satan comes to him. He asks him these different things. He tempts them with something. And what does Jesus respond with? Scripture. Where? Where does that scripture come from? You should know the answer. It's what we're talking about today. Deuteronomy. All three of the passages he quotes to the temptations come from Deuteronomy. There's a reason for that. Deuteronomy is where God gives his people the curriculum for life with him. It's there he tells them how to love, obey, and never forget him. And when does that really come into play? When life hits you in the stomach, slaps you across the face. It's right then and there that you either demonstrate you love him, obey him, and you remember him, or you don't. Jesus was getting hit with these temptations, these things that were drawing him away or intended to draw him away from his Father. Why did he quote from Deuteronomy? Very interesting thing to think about. Where is Jesus at the time of this, by the way? Where is he getting tempted? In the desert, the wilderness. Is he hungry? Pretty hungry. He's been fasting, what, just a couple days, right? Oh, 40 days. You ever gone without food for 40 days? He's in the wilderness. He's hungry. Does it sound familiar in any way? Oh, yeah. The Israelites. They were in the wilderness, hungry, wandering, tempted, tested by God. How'd they do? Grumble, 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 grumble. Why'd you ever take us out of Egypt? Take us back. Jesus gets tempted with the very things he wants. Food, right? And how does he respond? His connection with the words spoken to the Israelites in Deuteronomy links his temptation with his test in the wilderness. With his test. Jesus, in that moment, is giving you a comparison. Look how the Israelites did it, and look how I did. Which one should you follow? My example. Because in his responses, he speaks. He speaks from chapter 6, verse 13 of Deuteronomy. He says this, "It is the Lord your God you shall fear." In our New Testaments, they translate that worship. Worship the Lord, only the Lord your God. It's him you should fear and serve, and by his name you shall swear. It's only the Lord our God that we should worship, revere, and fear, and love. So he starts, remember, you're supposed to love God. Then he goes down to same chapter. He doesn't actually move out of chapter 6 in his second response. He says, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you, that you may go in and take possession of the land." Don't put God to the test, but obey him. Love, obey. And what's our last one? Don't forget. So from here, he quotes chapter 8, verses 2 and 3 of chapter 8. He says, "And you shall not, or you shall remember the whole way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commands or not." And here's what he quotes. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does what? Does not live on bread alone. But man lives by every word
that comes from the mouth of God. Remember him. He's the one that you're supposed to remember. Satan, anything you throw at me, does it matter? Because I know who I'm supposed to love and who I'm supposed to obey, and I know who I'm supposed to remember. I know it. I believe it. And I'm able to get past these things. God is testing us too. You know that? On a daily basis, he's testing you. Do you love me? And if so, are you willing to obey me? And will you forgive me? Now, I can't judge your heart, but I can tell you mine. I stink at that a lot of times. I say I love him, but I live a different way. Anybody else in here struggle with that? I feel very comfortable showing up here on a Sunday morning and talking to you guys about the Word of God. But then I get outside these walls. Let me feed me. Anybody else struggle with that? I can sit in this room till the end of time and declare I love the Lord and still have no relationship with him. And so can you. If all we are is a group of people that speak things, then we're not much of a group of people. I'm sure there's a bunch of committees and stuff out there that do the same thing in our government. Anyway, around these walls, what do we have? 15 and 15, just names on a page, right? Is that all it is? Is it names on a page? If it's all it is, it's meaningless. It gains meaning when the names turn to flesh. When what is written becomes flesh. That's when it makes a difference. And that's when we're able to proclaim to the world around us, I love God. My life is in obedience to him because I love him so much. And I remember him every single day. Do I mess up?
Yes, every single day.
I was telling some people in the Wednesday night class that we're doing on discipleship, I said, had someone share with me the reason why they didn't feel like they could be baptized into Christ yet in their life. Here was the reason. Anybody want to guess? Here's the reason. I just don't think I've got it all right yet. I need to get myself right before I make that sort of commitment. Is that the right way to think? Is it? Oh, I need to hear everybody say no. No. Who makes you right? He does. He's the only one that can. And it is in the muck and the mire of me being who I am, in my sinfulness, that I realize it's only he that can make me right and good and faithful. And I need him. I go into that water not because I have any control, but because he does. And when we get to that place in our lives, we will have, and when we're teaching that, people will come in droves. Because they don't feel like they have to come in these walls when they've got it all figured out. But they come in these walls with us because they don't. And they are surrounded by a group of people that just want to love God, to obey him out of that love, and to remember him all the days of their life. Not because we're a perfect group of people. So every day he's testing us. Well, that's kind of mean, God testing me. Yeah, right. Parents, you do that to your kids all the time. Don't you? Oh, really? Go pick up your room. It's been 2 days. Told you 2 days ago to pick up your room. I'm going to. Okay. I trust you. It's been 5 days. Do we test our children? Yeah. By the way, as parents, do we repeat things over and over again?
Yeah, pretty much so. It's funny, we will say to things about God like, I can't believe he would do that, but we do it all the time. We're just like our Father. And he tests us. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what is in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. In chapter 13, he says, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart, with all your soul. Multiple times in Chronicles, it says, I know, my God, that you test my heart and are pleased with integrity. Second Chronicles, he says, but when envoys were sent, all this sort of stuff, God left him and tested him to know everything that was in his heart. Psalm 17:3, though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me. This testing goes on. In chapter 26, verse 2, test me, O Lord, and try me. Woo, that's a scary one, isn't it? Examine my heart and my mind. 139, ooh, this one always gets me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Really? Does he have to? Jeremiah 11, but O Lord Almighty, you who judge righteously and test the heart and mind. He says it again in Jeremiah 20. God is testing us, not because he's mean, but because he loves us. So what's the conclusion to the matter? Take a quick journey with me through Deuteronomy, okay? So flip some pages with me. Go back to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 23. Take care lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make a carved image or form anything that the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire. He's jealous. Look down in verse 35 there. To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord is God. There is no other besides him. Out of heaven he lets you hear his voice that he might discipline you. And on earth he let you see his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved you, because he loved your fathers and chose their offspring after him and brought you out of Egypt with his own presence, by his great power, driving out before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in and to give you the land for an inheritance as it is today. Know therefore today, there is no other. Lay it in your heart that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. There is no other. Therefore you shall keep his statutes and commands, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and your children after you, that you may prolong the days of your life that the Lord your God has given you. Go with me over to chapter 10. Starting in verse 12 here. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, love him, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and the statutes of the Lord, which I'm commanding you today. For whose good? Yours. Turn over to 11, verse 22. For if you will be careful to do all this commandment that I command you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and holding fast in him, then I will. And he goes on to give the blessings. Look at chapter 30. Chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land of the Lord, swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. And here's how I want us to remember this. Look at in chapter 30, verse 11 there. And I want this to bring you comfort and peace. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you. Neither is it too far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? neither is it beyond the sea, that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Hear this, guys. But the word is very what? Near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that what? You can do it. Who's the word? We've been doing this whole study on the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was there in the beginning. And he, in chapter 1, verse 14 of the Gospel of John, says, I have come to dwell among you. In chapter 14, he says, we have come to make our dwelling your heart, to dwell. The Word has come near us. Amen? He's near us so that we can carry this out. We can do this. And I love this verse in chapter 4, verse 7. It says, for what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? Amen? What great people is there that can claim a God that not only a God, but a God that lives in you? When you make that commitment, who makes it to you? He does. And he's waiting for it. And when he makes that commitment, he's all in. Literally, he lives in your heart. He's all in. We can't get, you know, partially baptized. I just put my toe in. My pinky. Not good enough. It's all in. Amen? Every bit of us to submerge ourselves in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Word that is very, very near us and that promises to be with us always to the very end of the age. The Shema is the first of the great commands. This one establishes our standards for all mankind, the greatest commands. It's part of the Great Commission because in Deuteronomy, God sets standards of how we're to pass this down from one generation to the next without forgetting. That is another aspect of the Great Commission being pushed to us constantly. And as we give space to God, there is zero chance we're going to give him the space he needs to work in our lives without loving him, obeying him, and never forgetting him. So here's my invitation to you. Do you feel your name? In taking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, before God and these witnesses, promise to love him, to honor him and cherish him in that relationship, and leaving all others, cleave only to him, to obey him and never forget him, and to be with him in all things, a true and faithful follower, so long as you have life in you. Do you? Do you? I wanted us to remember our wedding vows today. Not with our spouses or ones that you've heard in a wedding, but the ones we made to Christ. As we are his bride, he our groom, have we been and remained faithful to him, or have we even made that first step? If we cannot be a people who are willing to love, obey, and never forget, then we will always be prone to forget God and serve our own interests and desires. Essentially, we will love a God with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength, but the question is, which God? Gary's going to be leading us in a song, Never Be the Same. I will never be the same again. Has God so changed your life and your heart that you will never be the same again? Or are you pretty much the same way you were before? Some of you have been waiting and waiting and waiting to make this decision.
And you're thinking, I don't know, am I ready? Yes. Yes, you're ready. You need God. All of us desperately need Him. We cannot take a step alone without Him. And without Him, we're lost. I will never be the same again. Ever. Will you? So this is your chance. As we sing this song, to come forward. And it may be you need to renew your wedding vows. Maybe it's time. Maybe you need to stand before your brothers and sisters and renew those vows before God, before Christ and others. Maybe as you haven't made those vows yet and you need to do it this morning. Do it now and never be the same again. Let's stand and sing.
I will never be the same.